Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hot Topics from the Soul with your host, Dr. Valerie N. Parker, businesswoman, author, speaker, and life coach. Dr. Parker is the president of Arise by VMP, which is a speakers bureau and public relations company. She is also the visionary and founder of the Soul of a Woman Foundation that brings awareness to domestic violence and children living in single-parent homes. Hot Topics from the Soul is a virtual lifeline to the community, discussing social and political issues, relationships, finances, motivation, and inspiration. For information regarding products, services, and resources, visit www.fromthesoulofawoman.com. That's www.fromthesoulofawoman.com. Ladies and gentlemen, I now present to you your host, Dr. Valerie Parker.
Good evening, and welcome to Hot Topics from the Soul. Tonight, I'm excited to be before you again. I have celebrated my 55th year on the planet, and I'm super excited about that because I remember when I was 38, I didn't think I would see another day. And I have with me my co-host, Shirley Carter. Shirley, are you there?
Yes. Good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining us. And Val, I want everyone to know that I wish you the best in this year because the double down 55, girl, you know you look good for it. So enjoy, celebrate. And, you know, I'm one of those people to celebrate my entire birthday month. So, Val, I challenge you to celebrate this entire month. Happy birthday,
girl. Well, you don't have to challenge me. You don't have to challenge me. I'm so excited about being here and being able to wiggle my toes and my hands and get up in my right mind. You know, I am just so excited. I didn't want to go before us in the show without bringing you in, you know, introducing you to the crowd. But, you know, the topic tonight is moving past the trauma. You know, life shows up one way or another. Sometimes it's, you know, we are partakers of it where we cause things to happen, and then sometimes it just happens. And whatever lot we're given, you know, God gives us grace and he gives us the mercy to go through it if we invite him into the situation, because life is always a process, maybe good, bad, ugly, and different. Life is a process, meaning it's always a lesson involved in that process. And, you know, some people say, well, you know, I wish that I didn't get this process. I wish I didn't have to, you know, God relied on me so much or favored me so much that I would go through situations in life. But, you know, they come to make us stronger. They come to make us. They come to strengthen us. And they cause us to be mouthpieces of victory, mouthpieces of joy, a testament of coming through, getting over, coming out from under. And, you know, moving past trauma is one of the hardest things to do. I know I'm a survivor of domestic violence. I was married for 19 years, and my domestic violence started 30 days into the marriage. It was just one of the most shocking things that I've ever experienced, because I wasn't brought up in a home where there was domestic abuse, where, you know, the only hands that was laid on was my parents putting their hand on my butt for me misbehaving or doing something I shouldn't have, but not against each other. We didn't have that. So I didn't understand what that was. So immediately I went into the mold. I shifted into, well, maybe I caused it. What am I doing wrong to cause this person to want to hit me or felt that it was okay with no remorse to do so? In the midst of it, the situation, I found myself, as part of the statistics, 1 out of 3 being a victim of domestic violence. 1 out of 4 men are victims of domestic violence, which I thought was shocking because I'm like, men are the stronger vessels. They're always overpowering women. So I thought it was shocking that men would even report or mention the fact that they were being victimized by women and also same-sex partners. So that's why the statistics are as they are for men, because it's not just a woman attacking a man, but it's male-on-male and female-on-female attacks. So, you know, being a victim of domestic violence, unfortunately, it has caused me to be the mouthpiece that I am. And at 38 years old, I didn't think I was going to see another day. I didn't think I was going to see another birthday. It was one of the, you know, every day I was like, God, why am I here? What's the purpose? Can I just sleep away? Can't you just take me away? Because I'm just so tired of dealing with the same thing day in and day out. I didn't know what the day would bring. I didn't know what tempers would flare. I didn't know, you know, if I said the wrong word or if I moved a certain way or made a gesture the wrong way, if I would get slapped or kicked or punched. It was 17 years, because I got out in the 17th year. But every day my stomach was in knots, just not knowing, just wanting it to just be over. So celebrating 55 years still here, it's a victorious one for me, because I didn't think I could make it.
That is wonderful that, you know, you can testify to the fact that 19 years and you're still standing strong at the age of 55, and that even though you endured physical and emotional scars, that God bless you, that the physicals were able to fade away, even though some emotions are still there, but the physical is no longer there, and that you are able to bask in the glory that he's given you. That is a testimony within itself for someone else that's going through. You may have some scars today, but if you reach a higher point in your life where you depend on God and you make some moves and regain your power, that you can step outside of that. And those wounds in you, the physical one, can heal as well. So, Val, you know, I tilt my hat to you and been able to break through that.
Yeah, a lot of people aren't lucky. A lot of people, as a matter of fact, don't make it out alive. And then some make it out alive but have the scars, physical scars, that the whole world will see on a daily basis that they cannot hide. And, you know, some have been maimed because of domestic violence, and my heart goes out to the children that are victim of domestic violence. And it is just one of the most, I just can't describe it. You know, people say, be on the outside looking in all the time and saying what they wouldn't take, what they wouldn't be able to do, what they wouldn't tolerate. But until you are actually in that situation, you can't really say what you will do. I was talking to a friend of mine who recently got married, and this person was constantly talking about, oh, I wouldn't have done this, you know, my man wouldn't do this, and I wouldn't tolerate that. Her situation isn't domestic violence, but she's in a situation now where all the things that she criticized and passed judgment on other people, she is now in that frame, in that situation. And I said to her, I said, now you see why even when there is no domestic violence with physical or mental abuse, where the other party isn't just functioning and doing what they're supposed to do as a spouse, I said, now you see why people stay. You know, love causes you to do several things, and things that you ordinarily wouldn't want to do, because of the fact that when you see that person enraged and you see his physical or her physical demeanor change, there's, because you love them, you see, you look beyond that and say, I felt fell in love with this person, and I know that person is in you. You hold on for dear life. It's just like, you know, when your child is acting up and you know that there must be something going on because you gave birth to this individual. You held this individual in your arms and you nursed them, and they looked in your eyes and you looked in theirs, and there was a connection, there was a bond, that was love being switched between the two. And when you're a victim of domestic violence with somebody that you love, it's almost like a parent holding a child saying, this is my baby. You know, this is somebody I brought into this world. They wouldn't harm me. But they do. Children kill their parents. Parents kill their children. So spouses do batter one another. They abuse it physically, mentally, emotionally. And, you know, moving past it is hard. But I found the courage one day with the help of my children crying out in their little voice saying, you know, you're not going to hit my mom anymore. I'm not going to let you do this. And because they stood up, that caused me to stand up for myself. And I've been running ever since. You know, you never know what you got inside of you until you're shifted into another gear when life causes you to shift. You know, because I was content just being the wife and mother, even though there was domestic violence going on, and even though I walked around on eggshells, I was okay taking care of my family. I worked full-time, of course, but I enjoyed being a wife. I enjoyed being a mother. I loved to serve my children. I loved to serve my husband. I loved to cook and clean, do all those little things. But, you know, as it would have it, that wasn't good enough. So moving past the trauma was hard. And one of the first things I did when I came out of my marriage was I started writing. Writing helped to free you and pull back the layers of things that you didn't even realize that you suppressed. And then, you know, you need to get counseling, talk with somebody. You're not necessarily a pastor. Go to a counselor, a psychologist, because there's mental things that, you know, are going through your mind that causes you to act a certain way emotionally. So get help, not because you're weak, but so you can remain strong and so you can find a way to pick up the pieces so that you can begin again. And that's how you can help, some of the ways you can help move on from the trauma that you've experienced. Now, Shirley, you have a nonprofit as well. Mine is the Soul of a Woman Foundation, which serves domestic violence, as Steve introduced in the beginning, and children in single-parent homes. But your nonprofit, Against All Odds, tell us what that is about.
Against All Odds, it's for breast cancer survivors and their families. Now, this month is for domestic violence as well as breast cancer awareness month. And my organization is an organization I formed after I was diagnosed with breast cancer in 95 and again in 96. And my receptors were negative, and which means that it will come back. And it did. It came back in 96, 1 year later, but in my other breast, because I had the left breast removed. So I started Against All Odds because as an African-American woman, when I went for treatment and when I went in for the group sessions and things, I really could not identify with the women that were sitting in the room with me. My story, my support was totally different. And I sit there and I watch and I listen, and I could not connect with them. Only reason and way I connected was the fact that we both had breast cancer. And I was like the only person in the room with negative receptors. What they call now is triple negative, meaning that your receptors, you know, in your body, which is a cell, your proteins in your cell, they got the hormonal receptors and then they got the ones with the protein in it. And mine were negative. And with that being the factor, my cancer was more aggressive. And over the years, I've learned that with negative receptors, which is, you know, a triple negative, which is a cancer that is found in primarily black women, and then the next group is Hispanic and then Asian, that normally our European American or white women do not get triple negative. But there are a few that have gotten it that had some type of Hispanic background in their system, you know, whether it's ancestors years ago or whatever, but somewhere in their bloodline. So with that being a factor, I decided to start Against All Odds, being an organization that would support the African-American women and their families. Because my children, I had one son that was 19 at the time, and then I had my younger children, and they had no support. Who did they talk to? Where do you go for help for them? And I couldn't find anything for them. And so a girlfriend told me, she's like, why don't you start something? Why don't you be that one to step out and do something different? And so Against All Odds was birthed, and it's been 15 years. And the 15 years have really gone fast, Val. It's like when you're keeping busy,
wow,
you don't keep track of the time. Time is something that you don't just mark on the calendar day by day. Sometimes you have to take a step back and exhale and say, wow, okay. But all you do is forge ahead and keep helping someone. And especially when I'm seeing more and more of my sisters being diagnosed with triple negative breast cancer, and to the point that they're in stage 3, that they have to take chemo, and which is a very good thing when you can take the chemo before you have the surgery. Because with triple negative, your first 5 years, so crucial. That is the one time that was the longest 5 years of my life. Because if you survive the first 5, your chances of surviving increase tremendously. Right now, today, only 77% survive triple negative 5 years. Only 77% compared to 93% if you're diagnosed with endometrial or in situ, which is all forms of breast cancer, different types. But if you're triple negative and you're African-American woman, it's only 77% that make the 5 years. So that 5 years is like a clock ticking. Am I going to make the 5? And once you make that 5, you can exhale. But now they're doing other treatment as far as giving them chemo before they even start doing the surgery. And by doing the chemo first, what it does to you is that the cells that are cancer cells that are in you, it kills them. So when they do go in and do the surgery, then you become a person that, as if you never had the triple negative, then you're placed into the 93% survivor category. So, but I'm running to young ladies who don't even want to take chemo, and they're triple negative, and they want to do the natural holistic, and that would have to be another show, Val, that we do that on. But I encourage women to make sure that you do your self-breast exams and that you also do your mammograms. And I know there's a lot that has been going through the waves over the last few years about mammograms don't work. Some people it does work. Some people it may not see anything. In my case, they didn't see anything. But I know my body. Know your body. Examine your body. Don't be afraid to touch your body. And don't be afraid to seek help from someone. Cancer does hurt. Breast cancer does hurt. And I find that in working with a lot of women over the years that have been diagnosed with breast cancer, especially the African-American women, that the fact is that their cancer did hurt. Their breasts were painful. So if you feel a lump, you got pain in there, get it checked out. Do not get the, oh, don't worry about it, your mammogram was clear. But if you feel something, keep asking for help and don't stop until you get it. At least, even if it's a one-inch scar, let them cut it out and run it on a microscope and tell you what it is. I have a dear friend here now that she waited 9 months to go back because they told her don't worry about it. Now she's triple negative, stage 3. So it only took one little cut to tell you what it is. So I encourage women to please do that. And also, if you're a survivor, make sure you keep track with your sons as well, because men do get it too, Val.
Really?
So often that it is something that's not talked about enough. Men do get breast cancer.
Wow.
There is Richard Roundtree. He's a breast cancer survivor. There's several men that are out there. And, you know, they don't talk about it. It is not something that they really publicize a lot, but it happens. And it's happening more and more. So don't think that just women get it. Don't think that you have to be 45 or 40 and over. I wasn't even 40. I have a young lady that had, her daughter had a girlfriend, 17 years old, died back in May from breast cancer. They never thought that it was breast cancer. They thought it was just lumpy tissue, you know, but it was breast cancer. 17 years old. I've known a 19-year-old, 23-year-old, dying from it because they were told, no, you're too young. You don't need a mammogram. You couldn't have it. Breast cancer does not have an age. And it does not discriminate as far as race. So know your body. One of the things I want to let our audience know as far as like my organization, not only do we offer support in the matter, not just support, not so much support meetings, but we have what we call Spill the Tea, which is our form of support meeting, not just for survivors, but also for visionaries and other caretakers and things of survivors. But one of the things we go beyond is that, and Val, I know you do this with your organization as well, is that we go beyond when all is said and done, the treatment, the therapy, the surgeries, and you're a person that works a 9-to-5 or 12-to-12, what do you do when you can't work and your job is only giving you a percentage of your finances? What we try to do with our organization, do fundraising and everything, and we step in to help you after everything is settled and everything else is done. And then when you need that extra $20 to help pay your phone bill or you need that extra $40 to go on your light bill, we deal with a lot of you see a lot of people donating to the masses of the large organization for research on cancer, research on breast cancer, or awareness on a larger scale. But who's helping the Kathys and the Shirleys and the Bobbies and, you know, the Valeries that after it's all said and done and they're at home, and they're looking at those bills.
Right.
Where does that come
right.
from? And so when I know when we do fundraisers and things, and I hear, and I know you do too, several people saying, oh, well, I gave to that foundation, or I give to, everyone is giving over here to this foundation. But who's in the trenches with the patient or the individual that is, you know, survive, whether it's domestic violence or breast cancer or any other cancer, any life-changing disease situation, who's there holding that person's hand? Who's there when that child is crying, Mom, we don't have any milk. Mom doesn't have any money. Or Mom doesn't have shelter. Who is the one that's there in the trenches with them? And I encourage our listeners to support your grassroots organizations. Those are the ones who are out there fighting and walking through the trenches with the people that are survivors, the people that have had life-changing situations, that knows their walk, that have walked that path, and that can walk with them. So be more cognizant of where your dollar goes. Who are you supporting? What do you know about them that you're supporting? And I'm not saying all grassroots programs are the way to go. Do your research. Do your homework.
Right.
Don't just give a dollar or $5 or $10 or $100 over here or over there and you haven't done your homework to see where does my dollar go? Is it going 90% to administrative costs and 10% to the cause? who is it really helping if that is how it is divided? So I, you know, I'm becoming more and more aware as I continue this battle of trying to support the ones that are truly in need with their family, to offer not only a safe haven for them to open up about their fears and what have I gone through, my walk through 19 years as a survivor, then I look at every day I survive, every day I live my life to the fullest, because you never know when your days are numbered and when you can help someone. And that is why I look at my organization, I look at Val's organization. We are here in the trenches, and we don't forget about the children that are in these relationships that are going through the battle as well. Don't just look at the adults, the women that are going through breast cancer and domestic violence. The children go through whatever that woman is going through. They're part right. of her. She carried them. They feel her pain. Ever forget that, and don't ever discount it. As they're kids, they're young, they don't know. They feel the pain too. So I encourage everyone to think about in your organization or within your city or your community, what can you do to help make a difference? This is Domestic Violence and Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Do something different. Show your support. Make a difference. If we had 100 people to give a dollar, that's $100. That $100, what can it do? I have one young lady, we're paying her phone bill. Her phone bill is $30 a month. That's 3 months. And she's going through treatment now, and she's going to be off for at least 3 months. So that will pay her bill for 3 months. That's not a lot to ask.
Right.
So we, you know, we work hard at this. We don't get paid for this. We're grassroots programs. There's not, I don't know too many grassroots programs that have any paid staff. We do it because of the love that we have.
Yeah.
And for the compassion that we have for mankind, because that is our purpose, and we're walking in our purpose. So I can't stress enough about examining yourself, making sure you know your body. And if you have daughters, talk to them. Do not shelter them from it. There's so many people I know that are going, they die with the secret that they have breast cancer, or they know someone that has. They don't share. The only way we're going to be able to fight this on a heavier front is we talk about it, we share it, we stand up for it, and we claim our place and our rights to know I need help and you need to help me. Don't be afraid to talk to your doctors. If you feel something that's not right, pain is not normal. Whether it's
and don't
pain,
allow them to push you off either, because they'll rush
yeah.
you out and dismiss you, you know, saying, oh, it's nothing, it's this and that. You know, be forceful with them. Make them hear you if something
yeah.
is not going right with you.
And
if they can't help you,
willing,
tell them to give you a referral.
Yes. Ask for a referral, tell them you need to go to someone that's willing to listen. You will get their attention then. Remember, they work for you. Because if you wasn't their patient, they would not be getting that check from your insurance company. So mm-hmm. consider them your employee, and you're taking control. Take control of your life. Keep fighting and standing for your life. You only have one. This is not a dress rehearsal. So you've got to get more aggressive. And live, and have fun. Enjoy and be happy. And I know I hear people say, be happy. You're always talking about being happy. You can learn to be happy with or without someone.
Right.
Because when you start taking the inventory of your life, when I say of your life, don't look at the negative things. Be grateful that you're still here. You can see, you can taste, you can eat, walk, smell. Val, you talked about our friend Tawana. not having any arms and everything. She's unarmed and dangerous. She's an artist. She's an author. Come on, she's a speaker. The woman is dynamite. And stands every bit of, what, 4 feet tall? But a powerhouse. Powerhouse. So when, if you ever get a chance to see her and hear her speak, you would never, ever have another excuse to complain about anything. Nothing.
Yeah, we limit ourselves because of fear. Of fear of the unknown, even when it relates to the doctors. One of the things you said was touch your body. Don't be afraid to touch your body. Feel what's going on in there. When you said that, I thought about that. I said, yeah, sometimes when I'm in the shower and I'll start touching my breast and then if something feels funny, I'm like, oop, I don't want to touch that anymore. But, you know, we have to do it. We have to just, you know, find out what's going on there because it will ultimately save our lives. You know, this is your body. Why be afraid of your body? And, you know, we fear what we don't know, fear what we're going to hear. And you know, a lot of people die because of what they were diagnosed with. And, you know, they give up the fight right then. If someone says you have cancer, don't give up and say, oh, my life is done. There's so many things being done right now that has been able to prolong our lives. And plus, I believe in miracles. I believe in miracles. You know, God made us. He knows all about us. You know, sometimes He allows us to take us home to save us from things that are even more traumatic, that be even more traumatic for us. But then sometimes He heals us because He wants us to be messengers. So if you're on the line, we have a lot of people holding with their hands up, and I'm going to open up the lines so that we can hear from some of our audience that may be a survivor of cancer, a survivor of domestic violence. You know, we want to hear from you and hear, you know, your survivor, how you were able to move past the trauma and still fight and be a mouthpiece to tell people that they can make it through. And if you are my friend on Facebook, there is a trailer movie up for the movie Loving Till It Hurts. I'm in a PSA regarding domestic violence. Click on it and like it. It is a phenomenal work by Luniversal Films, and he's going to be joining us in a couple of weeks on the show to talk about why he decided to do this film on domestic violence. It is absolutely phenomenal. Watch the trailer of it. It is something like you would actually go to a main movie theater to see, and this is what he's progressing for. So go to my Facebook page and look at the trailer for Loving Till It Hurts. I have a caller holding 1-860. Hi, you're live.
Hi, Dr. Val. This is Sandrina. Hey, Miss Shirley.
Hi.
Hello, my queen. How are you doing?
We are doing wonderful.
Great. I'm sitting here, and I'm so glad that I actually had the opportunity to tune in on tonight. Just listening to both of you ladies have really been encouraging to me on both levels, actually on all levels. Of course, I don't call myself a survivor anymore of domestic violence, although I am. I consider myself to be blessed. I consider myself to be victorious. I'm victorious. Not only am I a survivor, but I think the thing is with me, it was a mind issue. Some of the physical scars have definitely, of course, healed, but it's been the mind battles and the mental issues that I still, you know, I deal with on a daily basis. And, of course, it's not easy trying to run a household and run a business and keep yourself going. And also put, you know, put into place the things that have actually happened to you over a period of a certain time and throughout your life. For me, domestic violence actually began at the age of 16 years old. I did not know that that was what it was. I thought it was love. But now that I'm older, I see that, you know, that really was something that actually began the trend of things, if you will, of acceptance of how people and men, shall I say, treated me, because it was starting off as a push, and I'm like, oh, I don't do that. And then, you know, then it went from the push to the slap, and then from the slap to the punch, and from the punch to the kick. And, you know, it was one of those things where I was like, you know, he loved me, because therefore I really didn't have anyone at that time to explain to me that this is unacceptable. Now, I lived in the home with my mother and, of course, my stepfather, who I consider definitely my father. He's gone on to be with the Lord now. And I really did not see domestic violence in the home, but that really kind of sheltered me. Because when I got out in the real world, I really did not know what to expect and what to accept and what not to accept, because it was a hush-hush thing in my home. So it was keep quiet about everything that's going on. Just go to church, wear your skirts, praise the Lord, and everything will be all right. So when I stepped out into the real world, this is the knockback that I got. And from 16 on up until the age of 39, I began to accept what people did to me as being okay. And then, like I said, as far as learning your body and things like that, I didn't know a lot about my body, so a lot of things I allowed to happen that should not have happened. I'm just so glad that I listened, tuned in on tonight. Even Ms. Shirley, when you're talking about breast cancer awareness, and I am not a survivor of breast cancer awareness, but I have so many people that I love, so many family members and friends and people and coworkers that I know that have survived, and some of them have gone on, but then there's some that have been as young as the age of 16 and 17 that are even currently now getting treatment at the age of 21, and I thank God that they did see it early enough that they could get treatment, so I'm very thankful for that. And I've often asked myself, like, okay, I know I love the color purple, and I know I love the colors pink, but what do they really mean to me besides being pretty colors? And to me, the color pink, although I'm not a breast cancer survivor, it still, for me, means new life. Because God gave me a new life, even surviving four strokes and a heart attack and all kind of other things. So I look at the color pink as way more, it's so much bigger than just being a color. It is new life for me. And when it comes to the color purple, of course, I love it, and it does mean domestic violence and surviving and being victorious. But for me, purple means I'm rich. And you know why I'm rich? Because I have a new life. So that's why I wear those colors. I will wear them forever. I incorporate them into any and everything that I do, because they go to the heart for me. And I'm just encouraged again by everything that you all have said tonight, because I have a vision for women, and I told somebody about it, and I probably talked a little too much when I did, because they kind of made fun of it. But there was about 10 years ago, I started reaching out to really, really young women that were a little bit, not too much younger than me, but they were homeless. I mean, or they needed somewhere to go, or they were having children and, you know, breaking up with the boyfriends, and they didn't know how to take care of their bodies. There was a lot of things that they were missing. And I said, okay, well, maybe I love people. I love to help people. Maybe, you know, I can help these young ladies out and do this and do that. And I got kind of started on it. And then immediately when the first thing went wrong, fear jumped in and I let it go. But this has been something that has been burning on my heart for a very long time. So just listening tonight has definitely let me know that I am on the right track, and when the time comes, I am going to be able to do what God has placed in my heart to do for his people, and of course, women and children especially. So thank you for having me.
Thank you so much. Now, yes. Sandrina, you are a recording artist, and you also have a book. What is the name of your book, and how can people get that to help support what you're doing so that you can do the work you're doing in the community?
Okay. Yes. The name of my book is entitled Sandrina's Song, Memoirs of Me, and it is my story from the age of my memories, first memories of incest and molestation and all the other critical issues that I dealt with from my first memories at age 3 up until the latest incident that happened. And it is currently available along with my CD on Amazon.com. You can find it. You can also find it at www.createspace.com. Also on my website, www.sandrina.sings.com. And, of course, I'm all over Facebook. So if you just type in my name, you should be able to find me. I think I have about 4 pages up there. So
wow.
It would be a pleasure. So, yeah, I'm putting them everywhere. I'm everywhere, Dr. Val. Look me up.
I need you to work my social media and stuff because I'm not on it. It took me from Saturday till today because I tried to make sure that I responded to every single person on Facebook.
Yes.
And who I missed, I put a broad message on because I just value all my friends. I value all the individuals that I connect with because I believe it's not by coincidence that I meet or connect to anyone, even those that are on my show that call in like you. I honor you. Yes. I salute you, and I value you. Thank you so much for joining and being a voice and being willing to be on a platform to offer hope to people that are listening.
Always a pleasure. Always. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. Caller 2443, you're live. Caller 2443, you're live. Okay. Okay, caller 3038, you're live. Any questions or comments?
Hello?
Yes. Caller 3038, you're live.
Oh, that's me? Okay. Hi.
Yes?
How are you?
Is that your number?
How are you? I didn't see a number. I'm on my cell phone, so I didn't see a number pop up. So I had
no idea
what number.
Oh, it's the end of your number.
Oh. Oh, that's okay. I'll remember that next time. 3038. Wow, I've been working too hard.
Okay.
Hi, everybody. My name
Hello.
Is Joel Grutt. How are you doing, Doc?
My name is Joel. Thank you.
Good. I'm happy to hear that. I wanted to jump in and congratulations to all the survivors that are out there and the ladies who have been going through something and came out on the better end of the stick and doing some wonderful thing. I salute you 110% as a brother. So, but anyway, I want to give my little 2 cents. My name is Joel Gresham, and I'm the artist and the designer, creator of men's newly design symbol and products for cancer, the blue and black necktie. And we've been making history over the last year and about 6 months by having the opportunity to travel throughout the country, presenting the blue and black necktie paintings to hospitals and cancer centers throughout the nation. The first hospital that received it was Northside Hospital in Atlanta. The second cancer center was the University of Florida. We go back to Atlanta on the 24th of this month to present to Piedmont Hospital their necktie, and then we go to New York, Chicago, and California. But the best part about it is our goal is if we could just save one male's life, we are doing our job. And hopefully one male in every state, that would be fantastic. The other thing is we've been able to to get Miami-Dade County earlier this year in June. One of the things I've been working on, and one of the things that we're working on throughout the nation, is to have June as Men's Cancer Awareness Month in the month of June. And the reason for that is throughout this nation, when it comes to cancer, all cancer, we had no month to recognize it. Even though June is deemed as Men's Health Month, but it's actually 1 week in the month of June. So I thought that this was a great opportunity and the first time in history to make history by pushing throughout the nation to make June as Men's Cancer Awareness Month. So far, so good. We got Miami-Dade County back in June to pass a resolution that June is Men's Health and Cancer Awareness Month forever. Fort Lauderdale last year passed a resolution that June is Men's Cancer Awareness Month. And the beautiful part about resolution, when you get a resolution passed, it goes into law. Also, we got Broward County, the League
of
Cities.
So what does that mean when there's a resolution and it goes in the law regarding the cancer awareness for men? What does that mean?
That means that you have the mayor and all of the commissioners that have to come together and vote resolution that would be Men's Cancer Awareness Month. And what it is, and when it goes into law, that means every month of June for the rest of our lives will be deemed in that city Men's Cancer Awareness Month.
But what does that mean? Does that mean that they'll put monies into making sure that men are checked for what type of cancer? Prostate?
No, not necessarily. That's the funny part about it. I have to still get out there and do my grassroots efforts to preach awareness. That's one of the things that is so crazy about this. When it comes to men, really, there are basically no money out there at all for us, especially disparities. Speaking with someone from the American Cancer Society and just asking without telling them what I was doing with cancer, and speaking with a top official in Atlanta, and he says, listen, Mr. Gresham, we have absolutely $0 for disparities. And so that for minorities out throughout this whole entire nation. So, no, there will be no money allocated towards men's cancer awareness within the month. And that's something that we have to continue to fight for going forward. So we're doing our part by doing some unique things, by getting the message out, getting as much press as possible. This is new, so we catch a lot of people off guard, but we're doing something that is very beneficial. A lot of people are very excited about the opportunity that I'm out there, and our goal is if we could just save one life, just one, you know, we will be doing our job.
Well, this is what the fight is. This is what we are trying to do as it relates to domestic violence and cancer, on all levels as well. And just like you said, you know, you have a resolution, but yet there's no money. We're all trying to raise money to be able to help accommodate this disease that is crippling our nations. You know, it just amazes me that, you know, you can find money when you're trying to save a pet, but when you're trying to save a life, there's nothing.
Especially American life. That's one of the major problems.
We can't hear you.
Yeah. Can you hear me now? Can you hear me?
Okay, yes.
Okay. Especially the African American life, male life. CDC estimated 300,000 men would die from cancer each year. And I'm going to take it a step further, Doc. This is mind-blowing. There's 40,000 veterans that are diagnosed every year, according to the Library of Medicine, diagnosed with cancer. When I got the resolution in Miami back in June, let me tell you something that blew my mind. I'm coming downstairs, Stephen P., I think it's Stephen P. I don't want to say Carter Center, but anyway, coming downstairs and seeing these firemen boots, and I was curious as to what these firemen boots meant. And so as I began to read the label,
Keep blanking out, so I need you to get on or talk regularly. We're
okay.
Running out of time, so I need you.
Okay, I'm sorry about that. All right. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay, sorry about that. Okay. The fireman boots, we started looking at the labels, and we discovered that those firemen were, a few had died in the line of duty. And then all of a sudden I noticed that one had died from cancer, so it really piqued my curiosity. So I started looking at all the boots, and out of about 150 boots, the majority of those boots and the majority of those firefighters, they died from cancer. That was mind-blowing to me.
Wow. Wow. That is, now Shirley, you have, thank you, Joe, for coming on and sharing that information. So you're telling me basically that more firefighters die from cancer than they do from actually fighting fires.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
I would think so, because one of the things that the chemicals and things that they inhale when they're fighting the fires is you got everything from, you don't know what's burning in those buildings, to the material that's used from paint to construction material, even the mortar and everything that's mixed into the brick and the wood, the treatment and all of those different things. And a lot of those buildings are older buildings that are, have these major fires in, and there could be some asbestos in there, which is a very known, high known chemical that causes lung cancer and things. I would probably be granted to say that a majority of them had lung cancer or some other type of cancer, like maybe throat cancer, or some type of digestive cancer, which means like a colon cancer, or somehow got into their system. And maybe even some of them died of a cancer that a lot of people, you don't hear a lot about anymore, is leukemia. And it even happens in adults. It develops and, you know, can go into your system. And I've, you know, and when you get certain types of cancer, like I had a brother that was a kidney patient and was taken, got a kidney, and was taking a medication, an anti-rejection medication. And this is from the doctors and everything, but he developed cancer from taking the medication. That was one of the side effects.
Wow.
And it attacked him in his lungs. And this is the crazy thing about it. It fed off air by putting him on a ventilator, giving him air and everything. It hardened the inside of his lungs to brick.
Wow.
And
wow. That's pretty bad. Well, you know, that's the number one killer for men is breath, it's lung cancer, and then it's prostate cancer.
Yeah.
And one of the things that we wanted to do, that's why I created Not One Forgotten, because I was inspired by the loss of two of my good friends in Atlanta who died within a five-month period. And it wasn't from lung cancer, and it wasn't from prostate. One died from breast cancer, and the other died from stomach cancer. So when I created Not One Forgotten, I did it as a tribute and celebration of life, honoring men with cancer. And so that will be my life mission. We're doing some things to raise money. And I'll say this, we created a Kickstarter campaign, which we're looking forward to launching in a few days. It's all complete, but we're going to wait about 4 or 5 days before we push that button Also, you can go to my website. It's www.not1forgotten.org. And, of course, I'm on Facebook, and you could Google Not One Forgotten Men's Cancer Awareness if you need to read a little bit more about what we're doing.
Thank you so much for sharing that, Joe. Well, this has
You're
certainly
welcome.
Been an informative show, and I thank all of the individuals for chiming in and, you know, being a voice of encouragement, a voice of hope, letting you know that we're out here fighting. We're concerned about you. We love you. We care about what's going on in your world. But, you know, we still need help in order to do it. We can't help everybody, but we owe it to ourselves for breathing this air that God has allowed us to breathe to help somebody. Turn back and help somebody that may be going through, you know, like I said, you don't ask for help because you're weak. You ask for help so you can remain strong, because this fight, this struggle, it's a fight that it's going to be a fight to the bitter end. But I promise you, if you're able to get in that ring and swing, you can make it. Shirley, the event that you have coming up, where is that, and how can people find out about it?
It's going to take place October the 17th, which is Friday, and it's going to be in Grand Blanc, Michigan, at the Grand Blanc High School Auditorium East Campus. It is a fashion show, and it's called A Fashion for a Cure. We're sponsored by Kato's, their fashion line. I also have a designer that's going to do a special presentation, Tracy. And I have another designer, that's Gabra Q. That's our sister Queen Esther. She's doing her design. Live jazz by Mr. Charles Anthony. Special presentation by hip-hop artist CEO Carter. So this event is going to take place. It's got cancer survivors that are in the show. It has other models. We're going to be modeling from size 4 to 24. So it's going to be something for everyone. So you're going to see the latest fashion, the trendy fashion, the hip-hop gear, but very tasteful. So I invite everyone, all our listening audience, to come out. It is free to all survivors. For adults, it's $10. For students, it's $5. So if you have someone in the Michigan area, in the Flint area, Grand Blanc, Detroit, Pontiac, Lansing, Grand Rapids, tell them to come out to A Fashion for a Cure, which would take place October the 17th at the Grand Blanc.
Okay, how can they connect with you in order to find out this information?
You can go to my Facebook page, Shirley M. Carter, and go to Against All Odds, which is right underneath there, my company name, and it's a page for Against All Odds on there, too. And I send people to my Facebook to me, because there's several Against All Odds on Facebook. So go to Shirley M. Carter and click on Against All Odds, and you can get all the information and ticket information.
Okay, excellent. Also, this Sunday, the 12th, here in Fort Lauderdale, Personal Impact is doing our third Breast Cancer Survivors Breakfast at 10 o'clock. You can find out information by calling 954-742-782. Daniel Knox will be there as the mistress of ceremony, and also Dee Thompson, who is hosting it for our Personal Impact along with the Faith Center. So I thank you all for tuning in, and join us next Tuesday. We have Evelyn, the Heart Lady, who will be joining us, and she has a phenomenal story about maintaining your crown. So look forward to you joining me next Tuesday on another Hot Topics from the Soul. Good night.
Good night.